We're reading the first 14 verses of the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians. Let us hear this portion of God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to hear read and follow as read verses 23 to 33 of chapter 16. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, now, if you're using the booklets, please turn back with me to page 11. If you're using the Bible, you'll need to turn to page 1183. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We were looking primarily at verses 11 and a little bit at verse 12. Well, we're going back to verse 12, but primarily we were looking last week at verse 11. Let's pray before we say anything more. Oh, loving Father, we thank you that you have given us your written word. And Lord, we thank you that it is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, may we so know your word that we may see very clearly where we should put our feet, how we should live. And Lord, may we so know your word that we may see ever more clearly the way, the path that you would have us walk. Lord, you've called us to walk the straight and narrow path that leads to glory, that leads into your immediate, wonderful, loving presence. So bless us now, Lord, as we meditate upon your word. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen. Now, as I indicated just now, verse 12 is partway through a sentence in our translation. Let me just begin by reading verse 11 so we have the context. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks to the Father. Those are the words with which verse 12 begins in our translation. And immediately as we read those or hear those words, we find a question arising in our own hearts. How thankful an individual am I? That's what those words prompt us to ask. As somebody looks at me, can they see that I'm a thankful person. That I have great cause to say thank you. And to say thank you to Almighty God. Giving thanks, he says, to the Father. Now, what we're noticing as we look at this, these opening words, we are noticing that this is part of the prayer that Paul is praying for the Christians in Colossae. And indeed, it's a prayer that he would have prayed for believers anywhere. Because he knows that they need to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, the glorious might of God. And he knows that they need the power of God so that they will endure, they'll keep going. And he knows that they need the power of God that they would, in the face of difficulties and trials, be patient and quit themselves with joy as they patiently wait upon the Lord. Joy is a key feature, characteristic of a believer's life. That doesn't mean to say that you're bouncing up and down like Tigger in Winnie the Pooh Disney World. No. You can be quietly and deeply joyful without jumping up and down. Now, there may be occasions when it's right to express our joy in a outward, physical, exuberant fashion. But when you're in the midst of persecution, trials and tribulations, bouncing up and down doesn't come easy. And indeed, it may be something that would aggravate the persecution, the pressures that you face, because it would annoy your persecutor. But deep, deep down within, you can know, even though you would be in chains or being flogged, you would know the joy of the Lord as your strength. Now, the next thing he says, linking in with this theme of joy, is giving thanks to the Father. Now, there's something really important we need to notice about this. This is an instruction as well as a description. It's an unusual way that Paul puts things. There's a technical term which I'm not going to bother giving to you. But you've got the message if I say that this is something that you and I are empowered to be doing, and this is something that we are told to be doing. It's description and it's command, and the two go together. And therein lies an immediate challenge, because we have to ask ourselves, are you responding positively to the will of God for you? God calls you to give thanks to him for his goodness, kindness and mercy to you. And we'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But notice that. You and I are under orders to spontaneously, gladly and joyfully give thanks to the Lord. Do we see things that way? You see, so often we look at things from our perspective. I'm not feeling very happy today. I'm struggling with this weakness of the flesh or this trouble with a relationship, and so forth. We can mention countless troubles and difficulties that we can face, and we let those troubles, those pains, those weaknesses predominate, and they squeeze out, as it were, the giving of thanks to the Father. You and I owe our very existence to God. And yes, we know that we're subject to corruption and decay. We know that it's appointed to us once to die. That's where we're all heading, to the deathbed, sooner or later. None of us knows when. That's where we're all going, unless the Lord Jesus comes again before we die. But that's what most of us, that's what hundreds of thousands, millions of people have already experienced. They were born to die. Their physical life came to an end. Yes, we know all of that's going to happen. And we can let these things frighten us. We can let these things sadden us. But as believers, we're called to be joyful in the Lord, even as we face death. Giving thanks to the Father. That is what we're told to do. And that is what our lives are to be characterized by. The giving of thanks. You'll remember that it was said of Billy Bray, the evangelist, who was very active a few centuries ago in the West Country, that he would go around saying, glory, glory. Glory, glory. He was joyful in the Lord. He was giving thanks to the Lord. And he even rejoiced when a minister was preaching, and during the preaching of the sermon, the minister was converted. And glory, glory, the minister has come to know the Saviour, is the sentiment that went through his heart. And that's what we should be looking for, is the conversion of those who don't yet know the Lord. And we're longing to give praise and thanks to God when he brings a person from darkness into his most marvellous light, which is the theme of the very next verse of Scripture. But we're not there yet. We're still in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1. Now notice to whom the thanks are addressed. To the Father. To the Father. Yes, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our second Bible reading this morning from John chapter 16 reminds us, doesn't it, that the Saviour invites us to go to God, to pray to God, to pray to the Father, and to ask in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And there's a glorious promise that anything you ask in my name, you will receive. Now we need to understand what that means, because that doesn't mean that you and I can ask for that which is selfish, that which we want to suit ourselves. No, no, no. If you're asking for something in the name of Jesus Christ, you're asking for it in the name of the one true God there is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he would be exalted and glorified, and that men and women and boys and girls would know Jesus Christ is the only Saviour of sinners, the way, the truth, and the life. Giving thanks to the Father. He is the one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, we know that all three persons of the Trinity were actively involved in our salvation. The Father loves us that he gives the Son. The Son loves us that he gives himself to us. And the Spirit loves us that he shows us the loveliness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there is a sense in which, as Jesus taught, we go to God and call him Father. Father. Yes, he is the one who loves us, who cares for us, who will never let us go, and who will always be a tender, caring Father to each and every one of his children. Now link it back with verse 11 before we move on. And do note, my dear friends, that we're given power to say thank you. So it's never a matter of you or I being able to say, well, I don't feel like it today. It's a matter of saying, thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit. The anointing of your Spirit, that which is given to me and will never be taken away from me. And although I may be down in the dumps, although I may be sad and sorrowful, Lord, you love me, you care for me, and you empower me to be the person you want me to be. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been noticing that we address our thanks to the Father. And we said we would return to that theme in but a few moments' time, and so we now do so. And what I want you to note is the close link between the name, title, Father, and what follows. What is he saying here in this verse about the Father? Yes, at the beginning of the verse, he says we give thanks to the Father. But he tells us about the Father. And he tells us something extremely important about the Father. What does he tell us? He tells us that he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us. We don't qualify ourselves to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. No, it's he who qualifies us. It's he who says, this is my child who will enjoy everything that I have for each and every one of my children. He is the one who qualifies us. Now, yes, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to repent and to believe. And we must never minimize the significance and the importance of repenting and believing. God commands all men and women, boys and girls, everywhere now to repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. But it is God who qualifies us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. God has got something in store. That's surely what we can infer from the use of the word inheritance. You and I know what inheritances are. King Charles, when he was Prince Charles, Prince of Wales, knew that in due time he would accede to the throne. And in due time, he did. That was something he knew, that position he would inherit. It was held in store for him, if I may put it that way, until Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II finished her days here on earth. Something that he prepared for and looked forward for. And you can imagine that Prince William, in his own mind now, especially with his father having cancer, we don't know what cancer, but we do know it's being treated, and we do know that Prince William is concerned that his father may be doing too much at this present point in time. But he knows that he is next in line for the throne. Now, a goodly number of people are aware that when their parents finish their days here on earth, they may well inherit something from their parents. They haven't got it yet. It's in store for them. It will come to them in due season if they remain alive. Now, here, Paul is reminding us that God has something in store for who? For his people. For those who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. For those who in this life will come to see that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his all for their salvation. He has something in store for those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has something in store for those who are living as his people here on earth. What does he have in store for his people? The fullness of salvation. The fullness of the glory that he has purposed that his people will enjoy on the last day in his immediate presence. So you see, the temptation that we face is to focus upon what we do, repenting and believing. And the temptation for us to say is, that's the qualification that's needed. The two elements of it, repentance and faith. Well, absolutely, I don't disagree with that. But it's not all the story. And if you focus on just part of the story, you're missing out on the whole counsel of God. And our responsibility is to know the whole counsel of God, because it's the responsibility of those who are called to teach and preach in the Church of Jesus Christ to teach the whole counsel of God. That's what Paul did. He tells us that. That's what he told the Ephesians, that he hadn't been backward in teaching the whole counsel of God. And when you read his letter to the Ephesian Christians, what do you discover? You discover that he begins by talking about the amazing grace of God. He talks about who God is, and he talks about God's purpose and plan. He is remembering all that's taught in the first part of the Bible. He's remembering that God, from the earliest of times, had made known to mankind that he would have a people for his own possession. A people who would love him, a people who would do good works for him, a people who would enjoy him in this life, and who, after this age, would be welcomed into the new heavens and the new earth, evermore to enjoy being in his immediate presence. With no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death, no misery, no arguments, just sheer bliss, perfection. The inheritance God has for his people. He's purposed it. He's planned it. He's prepared it. That's what we're going to hear the Saviour say on the last day to his people. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Come and enjoy the inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you from before the beginning of the world. There's the purpose of Almighty God. And God has appointed his chosen ones to inherit that in the fullness of time. That's why the Bible talks about the elect of God, the chosen, the called of God. Yes, they will come to repent and believe, but they're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And yes, we know that as soon as an individual repents and believes, he or she knows that they enjoy being adopted into the family of God. They have become aware, God's got his hand upon me for good. God thereby qualifies me for the inheritance that he has for the saints in light. What a wonderful God. What a glorious God. What a loving, caring God God is. Our Father in heaven loves us, undeserving us, with the most amazing love that you cannot even begin to describe and express in words. They just fail. They fail to express the height and the breadth and the depth of his love for us and for each and every one of his people. And there's something else we need to note about this inheritance that he has for the saints in light. We need to note that this is secure. This is sure. What does the Lord Jesus say of his people? He says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Oh, my friends, isn't that wonderful? To know that you're safe and secure with the Saviour. Those who believe on him, those who love him, those who are trusting in him, know that they're absolutely secure. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus has done absolutely everything that is necessary for our salvation. That's what we celebrate in a few moments' time around the Lord's table. It's all done. It's all secure. And our Saviour will never ever let us go. How wonderful the promises and purposes of God are. And how amazing it is that we reflect on the fact he and he alone is the one who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. My friend, do you know that you're having a share, that you have a share in that inheritance? Those who do are those who say thank you. They do so spontaneously. They do so joyfully. They cannot but say thank you to the Lord for his amazing goodness, kindness, and mercy to them. But notice something else as we draw to a close of our little consideration of verse 12. We've begun by noting that we are those who are described and instructed to give thanks. We've noted that we are to give thanks to the Father. And we're to give thanks to the Father because he is the one who qualifies us to have a share in the glorious inheritance that he has prepared for his people. But his people here, believers, Christians, the people of God, are here described as being the saints in light. Now, the word saints speaks of being holy. It speaks of being set apart. Set apart to the Lord, set apart for the Lord. Now, my friend, do you see yourself in that light? If you're a true believer, you've been set apart. You've been set apart to live for the Lord. You've been set apart to enjoy his love being lavished upon you and within you. No wonder believers want to say thank you. If they understand, if they experience and know these things, you see, that's the key thing. You can know things in your mind. You can read a text and you can say, well, that's what the text says. Ah, but do you know it in your heart? That's the key issue. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the joy of the Lord as your strength? Do you know you've been set apart to love him, to serve him, and to enjoy him forever? Well, that's what he's talking about here, the set apart ones. The set apart ones who don't just rejoice in the fact that they're set apart, but who demonstrate their set apartness by actually leading the godly, holy lives he calls us to lead. They are those who know that it's their responsibility to mould and fashion their lives and to allow the Word of God to mould and fashion their lives in the power of the Spirit according to his Word. We're here to live out the teaching of God's Word. We're not here to do what we want. We're here to do what God wants. And our responsibility is to hunger and thirst for the Word of God so that we might learn and know the way that he would have us go, the way he'd have us live. He calls us to be his, set apart to belong to him. And he calls us to live for him because we're set apart to belong to him. And the believers are those who are walking in the light. They know the light of the Holy Spirit of God shining upon them, guiding them, leading them, directing them. They know the light of God's Word being made real to them by the Holy Spirit of the living God. They know the way of God, which is the way of light. The way of mankind, the way of the devil, is the way of darkness. But the way of God, the way of Jesus Christ, is the way of light. They are the saints dwelling in the light, the saints walking in the light. And we give thanks. We give thanks to Almighty God for what he's called us to be, for what he empowers us to be. And we give thanks in the power that he himself supplies, the very power that Paul prays for there in verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So as we go on our homeward journey, in a few moments' time, we'll go with a skip in our step. We may be hobbling. We may be walking. We may be skipping or running. We may be ambling along. Doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we're assisted with a walker or a walking stick, we will go with a skip in our step because the joy of the Lord is the strength of his people. Let's pray. O loving Father in heaven above, we pray forgiveness for where we fail to enjoy you and to thank you as we should. We pray, Lord, that you would so deal with each and every one of our hearts that we, O Lord, would know you, love you, and enjoy you, and give thanks to you in a glad and joyful manner each and every day. Whilst we have breath in our bodies, may our lives be lived for you. And Lord, when you take us to be with yourself, what a joy it will be to be ever thanking and praising you for qualifying us to enjoy the inheritance of the saints in light. For Jesus' sake, amen.